Our Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we thank you for the privilege to fellowship around the written word and to fellowship with one another. And our Father, we ask that as we look into your word now, every eye is open to see, every ear is open to hear, there is no confusion in any heart. Rather, we all enjoy the fullness of life, revelation, and insight in all of this house, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. We give you praise, for we know it's done. For in Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen. You can take your seat. Praise the Lord. Okay. So, in this service, we want to look at something. We just want to look around God's Word in a particular area. Amen. I believe it would help several restore order in their Christian walk. Amen. You know, it will help several in their faith and shining as a light before men. Hallelujah. Okay, so turn your Bible quickly. Romans chapter 12, reading from verse 1. Romans 12, 1. Okay. The Apostle Paul there says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. He says, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Okay, then verse 2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Hallelujah. Okay. Now you notice that the Apostle Paul here, he makes an admonition to the church at Rome. Okay, the saints at Rome. And an admonition which we can learn from today. You know, he says in verse 1, he says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Now that word present that he uses here translates the Greek word paristemi. Okay, paristemi, that's P-A-R-I-S-T-E-M-I. P-A-R-I-S-T-E-M-I, the E after T accentuated. It means to exhibit, okay? That is to show something as it already is. Do you follow that? To show something as it already is. So Paul here is not saying make your bodies a living sacrifice, okay? Only acceptable to God. Rather, he's saying your bodies are already, hallelujah, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. Now in your conduct, okay, show this fact. Do you follow that? Make it evident. Okay, your body was made a living sacrifice by the work of Christ. Look at 1 Peter 2:4. 1 Peter 2:4. Okay, it says, coming to him, now him there being our Lord Jesus Christ, as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. It says, you also as living stones, underline that. Okay, as living stones, have been built up a spiritual house, underline that. Okay, a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, hallelujah, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Okay, so do you see that in Christ we are now a spiritual house, right? In Christ we are holy priesthood, right? Okay, and we now offer spiritual sacrifices to God. Hallelujah. Now what are these sacrifices? Okay, you see that the writer of Hebrews tells us, Hebrews 13, reading from verse 15. Please turn your Bible there. Hebrews 13, 15. It says, therefore by him there being our Lord Jesus Christ, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. Hallelujah. Underline that please, okay? Sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips. Okay? The fruit of our lips. Giving thanks. Hallelujah. To his name. And look at 16. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. You see that? Okay, so our sacrifice in the New Testament would be our giving of thanks to God and our good works. You see that? Not animal sacrifices, as opposed to the Old Testament. Do you see that? Okay, so Romans 12 verse 1 now makes sense. Okay, since you are already a living sacrifice to God, now live that way. That is what Paul is saying there, okay? Let your actions reveal Christ's work, which has already been made available in you. Okay? Let your actions show forth Christ's work in you. Now look at verse 2, Romans 12. Verse 2. Now Paul continues there. He says, and do not be conformed to this world. Okay, underline conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Underline, be transformed, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See that? Okay, now that word conformed, used here, translates the Greek suschematizo. Okay, that is suschematizo. Suschematizo. The E after H accentuated. The last O also accentuated. Now, it's a compound word. Okay, you know what that means? It means you have several words in there. Now, from two words in the Greek, the word sin. S-Y-N. Sin. Now, anytime you see that word S-Y-N used in the Greek, it usually means to be identified with. Or same. Okay, it's used to describe sameness. That's our word sin. Okay, S-Y-N. The Y accentuated. And the second word in there is zematizo. Okay? Zematizo. That's S-X-E-M-A-T-I-Z-O. Did you get that? S-X-E-M-A-T-I-Z-O. The E after X accentuated. The last O also accentuated, which means having outward shape. Okay? Having outward shape. That is, having, now put that together, it will now mean having the same outward shape with another. You follow that? Or trying to fit into their model or mode. Peter also uses the same word. Look at 1 Peter 1:14. Put your hand here, we're coming back. 1 Peter 1:14. It says, as obedient children, not conforming yourselves. That's that word, okay? Not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance. So you see that its usages are not positive. Okay, so now I'm back to Romans 12:2. Okay, then Paul continues. It says, do not be conformed to this world. Now that word world used here translates the Greek aion. Aion, that's A-I-O-N. The O they accentuated, okay, which refers to the worldly affairs of this age here. Okay, it has several meanings in the Greek, but contextually here, it refers to the worldly affairs of this world. Now, you observe that the Bible often differentiates between the age we are in now and the age to come. I remember I've said that before. Okay, we speak about the age we are in now, the present age, and then the age to come. Look at Matthew 12:32, for example. Matthew 12:32. Now, it says, anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him, but whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, either in this age, underline that. Do you see that? This age, or in the age to come. Do you see that? Okay, the age to come, underline that, okay? Also, look at Ephesians 1:21. Ephesians 1:21. Okay? Says, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, underline that, and also in that which is to come. You see that? Okay? So there are two ages, okay, in the Bible. We have two ages, the present age and the one that is to come. Now you see that this present age is characterized by evil. Okay, look at Ephesians 2:1. Ephesians 2:1. It says, and you, he, now he there, our Lord Jesus Christ, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Underline that. Okay? Trespasses and sins, in which you also once walked according to the course of this world. You see that? Or age. Okay? The course of this world or age, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now walks in the sons of disobedience. Underline that. Sons of disobedience, among whom also we also once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh. Underline that. Lust of our flesh. Okay? Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Underline children of wrath. Okay? You see that? So the word world used in verse 2 of this same chapter, it translates that word aeon, okay, which actually means age. Now, observe the course of this world. Okay? Now, in this age, we find, first of all, trespasses and sins. You see that in verse 1? Okay? Then you find disobedience. Verse 2. See that? Okay? Then you find the lust of the flesh. That is verse 3. Then lastly, wrath. Verse 3 as well. Now, this characterizes the age that we live in now. Okay? That is the cause of this world. Okay? The cause of this age. You see that in 2 Timothy 4, the Apostle Paul there, he speaks of one Demas. He, for the love of this world, forsook Paul. Look at 2 Timothy 4:10. 2 Timothy 4:10. Please turn your Bible there. Okay, it says, for Demas has forsaken me, okay, having loved this present world. Now that's the aeon, okay, the age, this present age, okay, and has departed for Thessalonica, Christians for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. In 2 Corinthians 4, you see that Paul speaks of the God of this age. Let's see that. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 3. 2 Corinthians 4 3. It says, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age. You see that? Okay, underline that, okay? This age has blinded who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. You see that the God of this age here, or the God of this aeon, okay, refers to the devil. You see that he exercises influence over men in this present age. You follow that? So the conducts of men within this present age can be called or referred to as devilish. Okay, in line with the God of this age. Okay, so we find here that there is a way of the world. Do you see that now? There is a way the world acts. And you see that Paul tells us in Romans 12 verse 2, he says, do not be conformed, okay? Do not squeeze yourself, okay, into this world's mode or this world's pattern of behavior. You see that now? Okay, so don't act like the world. But then it continues, it says, Romans 12, 2, it says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now that word transformed used here, it translates the Greek metamorpho. Metamorpho, that's M-E-T-A-M-O-R-P-H-O-O. M-E-T-A-M-O-R-P-H-O-O. Okay, in the Greek, you know, it means to be changed into another form. Did you get that? To be changed into another form. Okay, so this change will be obvious. It is an outward change and it is visible. You know, it is the root of the English terms metamorphosis, okay, and metamorphize. Okay, you get those words are gotten from this Greek word. You find that those English terms are gotten from this particular Greek word. Now, how does this change come about? You see, metamorpho refers to a change, right? Okay, now how does it come about? It tells you, it says, but by the renewing of your mind. You see that? By the renewing of your mind. Now that word renewing translates the Greek anakinosis. Anakinosis. A-N-A-K-A-I-N-O-S-I-S. A-N-A-K-A-I-N-O-S-I-S. The O accentuated. Now it's a compound word. Okay, two words in there. Now the first word you find there is ana, A-N-A, the last A accentuated, ana. which means from up to down. Okay? Or you can say completely. From up to down or completely. And then second word in there, you have kaino. K-A-I-N-O. The last O accentuated, which means to make fresh or new. So you put that together, it will now mean a complete renewal, okay, and renovation. A complete change for the better. Did you get that? A complete renewal and renovation. A complete change for the better. You see that this word is used one more time, Titus 3:5. Okay, let's see that quickly. Titus 3:5. Now Paul there says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing. That's anakinosis. Okay? Renewing of the Holy Spirit. Now see this here. Interestingly, the word here is used as a new creation reality. Do you follow that? While in Romans 12 verse 2, it is used as a responsibility. So you see that observing the contextual usages of words is very key. You see, in one place is used as a reality, another place as a responsibility. Hallelujah. Now, this word has a verb form. Okay, a verb form. Now, that is the word anakainohu. That's A-N-A-K-A-I-N-O-O. A-N-A-K-A-I-N-O-O. The last O accentuated, which means to make new. Okay? To make new. To take from a lower stage to a completely higher stage. That's that word. To develop. Now, anakainohu is used twice in the New Testament. Twice. Now, first of all, it's used 2 Corinthians 4:16. Please turn there. 2 Corinthians 4:16. It says, therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Okay, being renewed here is a deliberate responsibility on the mind. Okay, that is that word there, okay? Being renewed. Then also use Colossians 3:8-10. Colossians 3:8-10. But now you yourselves are to put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Okay, look at 9. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. Hallelujah. And have put on the new man who is renewed. That's that word. Underline it. Renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. So you see here, it's a new creation reality, right? What was done to our spirits in Christ. Okay? So Paul says that the way you do not conform to this worldly age is by completely renewing your mind. Okay? Completely renovating your mind. Okay? You know, this means that there are some things which are already in your mind. Right? Okay? Now, what do? You now deliberately change them. Do you follow that? Okay? So, you now have the responsibility to modify and alter the way you used to think when you were still in the world. Do you follow that? Okay, so what does this mean? It means that after salvation, God expects his children to start thinking differently. Hallelujah. Let me say that again. After salvation, God expects his children to start thinking differently. Okay, and this will in turn affect how they act. Do you follow that? Okay, so you are not allowed to keep thinking and acting like an unbeliever after salvation. Okay, the believer after salvation is now to walk worthy of that salvation. Okay, you know what that means? It means that he now begins to do things that resemble a saved man. Do you follow that? Look at how Paul says this, Ephesians 4:1. Please turn your Bible there. Ephesians 4:1. The apostle Paul speaking there. He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to what? Walk worthy of the calling. Do you see that? Okay, I beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you are called. Okay, underline that, okay? Now, that word walk translates the Greek peripatheo. Peripatheo. That's P-E-R-I-P-A-T-E-O. P-E-R-I-P-A-T-E-O. The last O accentuated. It means or it refers to conduct. Okay? It refers to conduct, how you behave yourself. Now look at how it's used. Look at Romans 13:11-14. Romans 13:11-14. Please turn your Bible there, okay? We'll run through now. Romans 13:11-14, okay? And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Now look at 13. Let us what? Walk properly. Okay, walk here is peripatheo. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. 14. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ. You see that? And make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. You see that? So the believer is admonished to walk properly. You see that? Okay? That is to conduct his life well. You must act well. Okay? See also 1 Thessalonians 4:9. Okay? 1 Thessalonians 4:9. It says, but concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. And look at 10. And indeed you do so toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more, that you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own ends, as we commanded you. Now look at 12. That you may walk properly. You see that? Toward those who are outside, and that you may lack nothing. You see that? It repeats the same thing again in verse 12. It says walk properly. You see that there? See also 2 Thessalonians 3:6. Okay? 2 Thessalonians 3:6. It says, but we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly. Underline that. Walks disorderly. And not according to the tradition which he received from us. So you see here that Paul mentions brothers or believers who walk disorderly. See that? So a believer can decide to act badly. Okay? And Paul instructs that we withdraw from such. Okay? Stay away from them, because their bad behavior will eventually affect us if we don't. Okay? Okay? Now look at Ephesians 4:17. Okay? It says, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk, okay, peripatheo, conduct yourselves as the rest of the Gentiles walk. You see that? In the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. 19. Who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to walk all uncleanness with greediness. You see that? So Paul instructs here, do not walk as the Gentiles. Now that will be the unsaved, okay? As the Gentiles walk, okay? Or as they conduct themselves anymore. So a believer's conduct is to differ from that of the unbeliever, from that of the unsaved. Look at Ephesians 5:8. Okay, it says, for you were once darkness, underline once, but now, hallelujah, okay, you are light in the Lord, hallelujah. You see that? It says, but now you are light in the Lord. Now look at the instruction. It says, walk, okay, as children of light, underline walk, okay. So since we are no longer in darkness, we are now to walk or to conduct our lives as children of light. Do you see that? Okay, conduct your lives as children of light. Look at 1 John 2:6. 1 John 2:6. Okay, please turn your Bible there. 1 John 2:6. It says, he who says he abides in him, now him there being the Lord Jesus Christ, ought himself also to walk. You see that? Just as he walked. Underline walk and he. You see that? So we are told to walk as Jesus walked. Now what does that mean? It means you now conduct your lives in the same manner as he did. You follow that? You now conduct your lives, or we are now to conduct our lives in the same manner as he did. So we see that the epistles are clear. the believer's behavior is supposed to change after salvation. Do you follow that? Okay, there must be an evidence in the man in Christ's character, his conduct, okay, after salvation. So it's not enough to just be saved, okay, we thank God for salvation, right? Amen. But there must be evidence in your character. It must portray that this one is actually saved, okay? There must be a change, okay? And this change is deliberate on your part. You follow that? The change in the believer's conduct, okay, the change in the Christian's conduct after salvation is deliberate on his part. So he deliberately chooses to walk properly. Do you see that now? Okay, now in this teaching, I want to focus on one aspect of this walk. Okay, I want to focus on one aspect of this walk. I want to look at courtesy. Amen. Courtesy. Now the epistles teach courtesy. They do. Look at 1 Peter 3:8. 1 Peter 3:8. And it says, "Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous." Do you see that? Be courteous. Now underline that. So you see that Peter instructs here, speaking to the saints, right? The Christians. Right? You know, speaking to the saints, he tells us, be courteous. What does courtesy mean? That word courteous is, it comes from a Greek word. I'll give you the word, quite long. Tapinophrosune. Okay? Tapinophrosune. That's T-A-P-E-I-N-O-P-H-R-O-S-U-N-E. T-A-P-E-I-N-O. P-H-R-O-S-U-N-E. Okay? Now, a compound word. Okay? Now, derived from two words. The first word in there, you have the word tapenos. Tapenos. That's T-A-P-E-I-N-O-S. T-A-P-E-I-N-O-S. The O accentuated. Which means low. Okay? Low. L-O-W. Humble. That's that word, okay? Tapenos, low, humble. Now the second one there is the word friend. P-H-R-E-N. Friend. P-H-R-E-N. Which means moderation as regulated by inner perspective. Okay? Moderation as regulated by inner perspective. So this word means humility. Okay? Lowliness of human pride. Now it refers to the quality of having a humble opinion of oneself. Okay? It refers to the quality of having a humble opinion of oneself, a deep sense of one's littleness. That's that word. It means modesty, humility. Okay? Lowliness of mind. Modesty, humility. Lowliness of mind, to be little in your own eyes. That's that word. Okay? Now, this quality will show in a polite behavior toward others. Okay? Now, how will this show? You will treat others better than yourself because you have chosen to see yourself as little in your own eyes. Do you follow that? You will treat others better than yourself because you have chosen to see yourself as little in your own eyes. Although you may be big in reality. Do you follow that? So you choose to see yourself as little. Now this word tapinophrosune, okay? Tapinophrosune is used 8 times in the New Testament. Now let's run through quickly. 8 times. Now look at that. Acts 20:19. We'll run through now. So please, I want you to be handy with your Bible. Acts 20:19. Are you there? Okay, it says, serving the Lord with all humility, and that's that word there, okay? Humility, with many fears and trials, which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews. And look at them, Ephesians 4:1. It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness. That's that word. Underline it, okay? And gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love. Look at Philippians 2:3. Philippians 2:3. It says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind. That's that word. Lowliness of mind, aligned, okay? Let each esteem others better than himself. Do you see that? Okay, so that's what humility. You see that? Okay, Colossians 2:18. Colossians 2:18. It says, let no one cheat you of your reward, having delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. So the word is used negatively here. Okay, now also verse 23 of that same chapter, verse 23, it says, these things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, false humility, that's that word, humility, and neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. So you see, use negative here as well. Now look at Colossians 3:12. Colossians 3:12. It says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility. Underline that. That's that word, okay? Humility, meekness, long suffering. Now 1 Peter 5:5. 1 Peter 5:5. It says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. That's that word, okay? Underline it, okay? Humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. You see that? Okay, then lastly, 1 Peter 3:8, where we just read. 1 Peter 3:8. It says, finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous. You see that? So this word courteous has to do with a humble behavior. Do you follow that? A humble behavior. You act lower than you actually are because you have chosen to see others better than yourself. You follow that? And this will show in a polite attitude towards others. Now note that this polite behavior or attitude is not hypocritical. Okay, it's not for eye service. You know, some people are like that. Their humility is just so that people can see them. No. Okay, it is a modest attitude because you have a modest opinion of yourself. Do you follow that? You have a modest opinion of yourself. Now look at how Webster's Revised Unabridged Dictionary defines courtesy. Okay, let me give you the definition there. Now, different, you know, a dictionary will give you several meanings of the same word. Now number one there, it means politeness. Okay, politeness, civility, urbanity, courtliness. That's number one. Politeness, civility, urbanity, courtliness. Then number two, it says an act of civility or respect. Do you follow that? An act of kindness or favor performed with politeness. You follow that? So that is courtesy. Okay? Civility, politeness. You follow that? Kindness. You follow that? Okay? Now you see that other words I used to describe being courteous in the Greek as well. You find other words used there. For example, epikes, E-P-I-E-I-K-E-S. E-P-I-E-I-K-E-S. The E after K accentuated. It means gentle. Amen. Mild. That's M-I-L-D. Mild. Forbearing. That's that word, okay? Epikes. Now, this word used 5 times, okay, in the New Testament. Now, let's run through quickly its usages. Look at Philippians 4:5. Please turn your Bible there. Philippians 4:5. It says, let your gentleness, that's that word, epikes. Underline it, okay? Gentleness, be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. You follow that? You see that this same word is used as a qualification for a bishop or a pastor in 1 Timothy 3, verse 1. 1 Timothy 3 verse 1. It says, this is a faithful saying, if a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, you see that? Able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, that's that word, epikeis, underline it, okay? Not quarrelsome, not covetous. You see the same word used, Titus 3:1. Okay? Titus 3:1. It says, remind them to be subject to leaders and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work. Now look at 2. To speak evil of no one, to be peaceful, gentle. Underline that, okay? That's that word. Showing all humility to all men. Now also James 3:17. James 3:17. Okay? Are you there? James 3:17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable. Okay? Gentle. Underline that. Epikeis. Gentle. Willing to yield, full of mercy and good works, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Look at 1 Peter 2:18. 1 Peter 2:18. It says, servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle. See that word? Okay, epikeis, but also to the harsh. You follow that? Okay, so God's people are courteous. Do you see that now? God's people are courteous. It's a trait that characterizes God's people. They see themselves as little in their own eyes and are polite to others. You follow that? Okay, so that is a trait, a characteristic of God's people. Now, how do we exhibit courtesy practically? Amen? How do we show it practically? Now, I'm going to give you 10 things now that you should do, okay, and not do in order to be courteous. So you may list here. Are you ready now? Okay, 10 things. 10. Okay, that you should do. 10 things that you should do and not do to be courteous. Now, number one, you know, one of them is simply addressing people with respect. Amen? Addressing people with respect. You know, using sa and ma in conversations. Hallelujah. Amen? You see that in the Bible, the people of God use sa for everyone. Everyone. Even those younger than them, and even those who were, those older than them, and even those younger than them. That word sa appears about 119 times in the Bible. Think about that. 119 times in the Bible. You see that in the Old Testament, you find the word Lord used there, okay? That word Lord means sa. Okay? It was a term of great respect. Now, let's run through a few texts now. Look at 1 Samuel 1:12. Okay? Look at 1 Samuel 1:12. We'll run through now quickly. 1 Samuel 1:12. Are you there? I wait for you. 1 Samuel 1:12. Are you there now? Okay. And it happened, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli watched her mouth. Now Hannah spoke with her heart, only her lips moved, and her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she was drunk. Now look at 14. So Eli said to her, how long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you. And look at 15. But Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord. Underline that. See that? My Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but I've poured out my soul before the Lord. Now look at 16. Do not consider your maid servant. Come on. You see that? So she humbles herself. Do you see that? Okay, a wicked woman. For out of the abundance of my complaint and grief, I have spoken until now. Now look at 17. Then Eli answered and said to her, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition, which you've asked of him. Now look at 18. And she said, let your maid servant, you see that again, underline that, find favor in your sight. So the woman went away, and she ate, and her face was no longer sad. Now look at the way Anna responded to Eli, even though he accused her wrongly. You see that? Remember, he accused her of being drunk, right? Remember that? He accused her of being drunk. Yes, she calls him my Lord in verse 26. He says, and she said to him, "O my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood by you here praying to the Lord." You see that? So she uses "my Lord" again there. Now, Lord there is Adon in the Hebrew. A-D-O-N. Amen. A-D-O-N. It means master. Master. Okay? Today is the same word as sir or mister. Follow that? Okay? Use as well Genesis 33:15. Now, that is Jacob to Esau, his elder brother. Now, please turn there. You know, some people don't call their elder brother sir or ma. I see you laugh, right? Okay, Genesis 33:15. Okay? It says, "And Esau said, now let me leave with you some of the people who are with me. But he said, what need is there? Let me find favor in your sight of my Lord." Underline that. My Lord. You see that? So he calls his elder brother my Lord. You see that as Sarah as well, she's commended for calling her husband Lord or Sir. You see that 1 Peter 3. Please turn your Bible there. 1 Peter 3:5. It says, "For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands." Now look at 6. "So Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him what? Lord." Do you see that? Please underline that. Calling him Lord. "Whose daughters you are, if you do good and are not afraid with any terror." You see that? So she was submissive or humble, and it showed in how she addressed her husband. You follow that? You see that women too are also addressed with honor in the Bible. Okay, it's not just men. Amen. Look at 1 Kings 17:17. 1 Kings 17:17. Please turn your Bible there. Okay, it says, "Now it happened after these things that the son of the woman who owned the house," you see that? The woman who owned the house became sick. Now underline that phrase, woman who owned. Okay, and his sickness was so serious that there was no bread left in him. Now observe that phrase, the woman who owned the house. Now that is mistress or madam in the Hebrew. Do you follow that? That is mistress or madam in the Hebrew. You find the word Baalau used there in the Hebrew, in there. Okay, Baalau used in the Hebrew. That's B-A-A-L-A-H. So again, you see a title of respect was used here, right? For this woman. Now also within the New Testament. Look at Luke 19:8. Okay, then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Luke, Lord." You see that? Or sir. You follow that? "Luke, Lord," or you can say sir, "I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold." Then Matthew 18:21. Please turn there. Matthew 18:21. It says, "Then Peter came to him and said, Lord," that's sir, okay? Okay, "how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to 7 times. Okay, so you see that part of courtesy is to use sir and ma to address others. Do you see that? Even if they are younger than you. Do you follow that? Okay, it's simple courtesy. Okay, everyone. You follow that? Now I told you, even the gate man. Amen. Amen. Even the cleaner. Amen. Address everyone with respect. Okay, be courteous. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay, then number 2, greeting properly. Greeting properly. Now you see that in Bible days, they had what was known as the holy kiss, right? Or the kiss of peace, which was a form of greeting. Remember that? Look at Genesis 27:26. Genesis 27:26. Okay, then his father Isaac said to him, "Come near now and kiss me, my son." You see that? Okay, look at Genesis 29:13. It says, "Then it came to pass, when Laban heard the report about Jacob, his sister's son, that he ran to meet him and embraced him and what? Kissed him and brought him to his house. So he told Laban all these things. Now look at Genesis 33 verse 4. Genesis 33:4. It says, but Esau ran to meet him and embraced him. See that? And fell on his neck and what? Kissed him and they wept. See that? Look at Luke 7:45. Now Jesus speaking here. Luke 7:45. Okay? Luke 7:45. Now it says, you gave me no kiss. You see that? But this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. Okay? That is, you showed me no affection. Do you follow that? Okay? So kissing was a display of cordiality in that day. Do you follow that? A display of cordiality in that day. You see that the epistles also instruct this. Look at Romans 16:16. Romans 16:16. Now I run through now. It says, greet one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ greet you. See that? It says, greet one another with a holy kiss. Look at 1 Corinthians 16:20. 1 Corinthians 16:20. It says, all the brethren greet you. Now look at that. Greet one another with a holy kiss. You see that again? On the line, greet a holy kiss. Okay? Look at 2 Corinthians 13:12. 2 Corinthians 13:12. It says, greet one another with a holy kiss. You see that there again? On the line, greet an holy kiss as you go on. Okay? And look at 1 Thessalonians 5:26. 1 Thessalonians 5:26. It says, greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. Okay? Now, 1 Peter 5:14. 1 Peter 5:14. It says, greet one another with a kiss of love. You see that? Okay? A kiss of love. It says, peace be to you all who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. You see that? Now, that word kiss translates the Greek philema. Philema, that's P-H-I-L-E-M-A. Okay? P-H-I-L-E-M-A. The I accentuated, the E also accentuated. Derived from filio. P-H-I-L-E-O. The E and O accentuated, okay? Filio, which means to share warm affection. Okay? That's filio, okay? To share warm affection. So, philema refers to a kiss that was used to show respect or affection between friends. Okay? That is people sharing a deep common bond. Now that was the cultural norm in that day. You follow that? That was the cultural norm of that day. Now today that is a handshake. Amen? Amen? Okay? So don't go to the Bible and say, the Bible says, greet one another with a holy kiss. Okay? So sister, please come. Amen? Let's practice the word. Amen? I will slap you. Me, myself, I will slap you. Amen? So, that was the culture back then. Now, that is not the culture again today, right? Okay, so today, what do? We shake hands, right? Okay, so that is enough. Amen. So, what we can learn from this is that you should use courteous gestures in greeting people. Do you follow that? Okay, so when you're greeting people, smile. Amen. Say smile. Amen. Okay, shake someone's hand. That's courtesy, okay? Don't frown all the time. You see, some Christians believe that spirituality is just to be frowning in your face. So Christians never smile. Say, "Ha, brother, how are you? God bless you. Look at me. God bless you." No. Amen? Amen. Put a smile on your face. Be courteous to people, okay? Amen? Okay, be pleasant. We are coming to that, okay? Now, the third one here is kissing. Amen. Kissing. And this one is what you mustn't do. Amen. Now I know this is a problem for most Nigerians, because in Nigeria it's by default. We ease by default. It's in our DNA. Amen. You see, you ask someone, "How are you doing?" It will ease to answer you. Say, "Ah, brother, how are you?" Say, "I'm cocoa fine, no. Why did you have to ease? How is work going? Where I said, you gave birth to, how is your daughter?" She said, it's a culture. Okay, it's in our nature. Hallelujah. Okay, kissing is found in the Bible. You know, the Hebrew word for kissing is sorak. Okay, sorak. That's S-H-A-R-A-Q. S-H-A-R-A-Q. It means to kiss in order to scorn. Do you follow that? Okay, it was used as a sign of contempt and disdain. Okay, a sign of contempt and disdain. Now, let me show you some of the references, okay, or usages. Look at Jeremiah 19:8. Let's run through now. Jeremiah 19:8. Please turn your Bible there. Jeremiah 19:8. It says, I will make this city desolate and a hissing. You see that? Everyone who passes by it will be astonished, okay, and is. Underline that, is because of all its plagues. So you see, it's used negatively here. Okay, now Jeremiah 49:17. Jeremiah 49:17. It says, Edom also shall be an astonishment. Everyone who goes by it will be astonished. And what? Is at all its plagues. Underline is, okay? And look at Lamentations 2:15. Lamentations 2:15. It says, all who pass by clap their hands at you, they is, underline that, and shake their heads at the daughter of Jerusalem. Is this the city that is called the perfection of beauty, the joy of the earth? You follow that? Now you observe that most times where this word is used, it is done by unbelievers. Do you see that? Do you see that in all these references? Done by the unsaved. So isin is not godly conduct. Do you follow that now? It's not godly conduct. So the believer must be courteous in how he uses his mouth. Did you get that? The believer must be courteous in how he uses his mouth. Now another one again is eyeing. Amen. That's number four, okay? Eyeing. Now again, this is also a Nigerian, is in our DNA as well. Eyeing. Now you see that the Bible often speaks of the evil eyes. Amen. The evil eyes. Look at Proverbs 6:12. Proverbs 6:12. I mean, that's I'm going to give you 10, right? Okay, so we're number 4. Amen. Proverbs 6:12. It says, a worthless person, a wicked man, walks with a perverse tongue. Now look at 13. He winks with his eyes. Underline that, okay? He winks with his eyes. He shuffles his feet. He points with his fingers. Now look at Proverbs 6:17. Proverbs 6:17, okay? Proverbs 6:17, are you there? Okay, these six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven, an abomination to him. Now 17. A proud look. You see that? Underline that. A proud look. Now actually that is pride eyes in the Greek or in the Hebrew. Okay? That is proud eyes in the Hebrew. Okay, it goes on. It says a lying tongue. Okay, it goes on. A lying tongue as a shed innocent blood. And look at Proverbs 10:10. Proverbs 10:10. Okay? He who winks with the eye. Underline that. Winks with the eye. Causes trouble. See that? But a proud fool will fall. You see that? Now that word winks translates the Hebrew korat. Okay? Korat. That's Q-A-R-A-T-S. Q-A-R-A-T-S. It means to blink the eyes as a gesture of malice. Amen? To blink the eyes as a gesture of malice. You know, today that's what we call eyeing. Okay, or like the saints of places, sassing. Amen. So stop eyeing people. Do you see that now? Okay, it's not good conduct for the saints. Be courteous. You follow that? Okay, be courteous. Now, number 5, fighting and physical brawls. Okay, fighting and physical brawls. Now, let me say this to you that fighting is a work of the flesh. Amen. Say, fighting is a work of the flesh. Look at Galatians 5:19. Galatians 5:19. Okay? It says, now the works of the flesh, underline that, okay? Works of the flesh are evident, which are, so it lists them out for you, right? Okay? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, adultery, sorcery, hatred, contentions. Underline that. Contentions. Jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions. Underline that. Dissensions, heresies. You see that? So contentions and dissensions are works of the flesh. Do you follow that? They are works of the flesh. And we are not to walk in the flesh, rather we are to walk in the spirit. Look at verses 16 to 17 of that same chapter. It says, I say then, walk in the spirit, and you shall not what? Fulfill the lust of the flesh. Do you see that? And you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Look at 17. For the flesh lusts against the spirit. You see that? And the spirit against the flesh. Underline against and against, okay? And these are what? Contrary to one another. Do you see that? Okay? So that you do not do the things that you wish. Do you see that? So the Christian must not be a brawler. Amen. Stop throwing punches. Amen. Don't be known as a fighter. That is not Christian character. Okay? Don't be one who always starts quarrel with people. You know, even your class, they know you. That when they are fighting, people are gathered together. They say, who is that? Aishola. They know your name. That this one is always is the one that removes somebody's eyes. You severally, you beat people up. It's not good Christian character. Do you follow that? Okay? It's not good Christian character. So come off it. Amen. Look at what Proverbs 18 says about this. Please turn your Bible there. Proverbs 18:19. Proverbs 18:19. It says, a brother offended is harder to win than a strong city. Okay? And contentions are like the bars of a castle. You see that? Contentions are like the bars of a castle. So he likens contentions here, or fights, right, brawls, to the bars or to the gates of a castle. Now what figure of speech is this? Simile. Hey, do you remember? Okay, so that is an indirect comparison, right? Okay, thank you. Now what is the comparison here? Bars are very strong. Amen. And cannot be easily broken. You see that in Bible days, bars were made with hard iron. Okay, they were made with hard metal, such as iron or brass. Okay, look at 1 Kings 4:13, for example. 1 Kings 4:13. How many of you are learning so far? Okay, thank you. 1 Kings 4:13. Okay, Ben-Gaba in Ramoth Gilead, to him belonged the towns of Jer, the son of Manasseh in Gilead, to him also belonged the region of Argob, in Bashan, 60 large cities with walls and bronze wall, gate bars. Do you see that? Bronze gate bars. So you see, fights are likened to hard metal. You follow that? Difficult to destroy. Now that is what Proverbs 18 verse 19 is saying. What is it saying? Contentions are like what? Bars of a castle. That is, fights are hard to resolve. Do you get the comparison now? Okay. Fights are hard to resolve, so don't start them in the first place. Do you get it now? Okay, that is what it means. Contentions are like the bars of a castle. They are hard. Do you get it? Okay, now see 2 Timothy 2:24. 2 Timothy 2:24. It says, and a servant of the Lord must not quarrel. Underline that. Must not quarrel. Is that clear? Okay, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility. Underline that. Humility. Correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Do you see that? So a minister must not be quarrelsome. You see that? He must be an example to the saints. Look at Proverbs 10:12. Proverbs 10:12. It says, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. You see that? Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. So instead of hatred, have love. Hallelujah. You see that? Instead of hatred, let's have love. You know what love does? Love covers all sins. Now what does that mean? It means that love helps us not to see the wrongs that others have done. Do you follow that? Love helps us not to see the wrongs that others have done, so it covers a multitude of sins. Look at Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23. It says, it is honorable, underline that, honorable for a man to stop striving. Do you see that? Since any fool can start a quarrel. You see that? So to stop fighting is what? Honorable. Hallelujah. Okay? It is a fool that starts quarrels. Look at Romans 13 verse 12. Romans 13 12. It says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust. Now look at this. Not in strife. Underline that. Not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. So you see here, it says we are to walk properly. Do you see that? We are to walk properly, not in strife, fighting. Do you follow that? So God's people don't fight. You hear what I said? Let's say that together. I said God's people don't fight. Okay, God's people are not brawlers. Amen. Okay, now we can learn from Abraham on this particular matter. Now you see that something interesting happens in Genesis 13. Please turn your Bible there. Genesis 13:7. Hallelujah. Genesis 13:7. It says, and there was strife. Now that will be quarreling, okay? Between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. You see that? Now herdsmen here is not the one we have in Nigeria today, amen? Hallelujah. Okay? The Canaanites and the Perizzites then dwelt in that land. Okay? So you see that the fight here was about land. Do you follow that? Okay, so between the herdsmen of Abraham, right, or Abram as it was then called, and Lot, right? Now, what was the issue here? There was not enough room for both herdsmen to feed their livestock. You follow that? So they had so much livestock, there wasn't enough room. But look at what Abram does. Okay, look at what Abram does. Verse 8. So Abram said to Lot, please, let there be no strife between you and me. Come on. Do you see that? Please underline that. Let there be no strife between you and me, and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen. For what? We are brethren. Hallelujah. You see that? So he rather let himself be cheated than fight. Look at verse 9 of that same chapter. It says, is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If you take the left, okay, if you take the left, then I will go to the right, or if you go to the right, then I will go to the left. Now look at 10. And Lord lifted his eyes and saw all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as you go towards Zoar. Then Lord chose for himself all the plain of Jordan, and Lord joined his, and they separated from each other. Do you see that? Look at Abraham here. He allows Lord take the best of the land just so peace could reign. Do you see that? Do you see that? So we can learn here how that sometimes you would have to give up your rights, okay, just to avoid issues with others. Amen. Is your right too? Amen. No one is saying it's not your right, okay, but you now let it go. You give up your privileges just to avoid issues with others. Look at how the Apostle Paul says this. 1 Corinthians 6. Please turn your Bible there. 1 Corinthians 6, 7. 1 Corinthians 6, 7. It says, now therefore, it is already an utter failure for you, now look at this, that you go to law against one another. Underline that. You go to law against one another. Now look at this. Why do you not rather accept wrong? Come on. You see that? Why do you not rather accept wrong? Why do you not rather let yourselves be cheated? Underline that. yourselves be cheated. No, you yourselves do wrong and cheat, and you do these things to your brethren. You see that? So Paul here is rebuking the Corinthian church for suing one another. Amen? They were taking one another to court. So he says that it is better to allow yourself to be cheated than to take your brother to court. Do you see that? Let yourself be cheated than fight. That is godly character. Hallelujah. Amen. I know lawyers won't like this. Amen. You know, they call us bottom feeders. Amen. Lawyers benefit from the evil in the society. That's how we make our money. Hallelujah. Amen. But that is the Bible. Amen. So sometimes you let go of your rights. Hallelujah. Just so peace can reign. Do you see this? Do you see this now? I remember I went with a friend, you know, we're in the bank. You know how it is. We're queued up on a very long line. And then someone just came and caught in front of me. And my friend was saying, ha, will you take it from him? And I'm like, fine. It's not an issue. Then she was like, your parents must have trained you well. And well, true, but it's simply godly character. You know, it's my right. You know, there are two things I could have done in that situation. I said, should we act with? Hey, I don't off my clothes. She ori baba ekpe. That's how some Christians are. Think back about you, Amen. Okay, but you can let yourself be cheated rather than fight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is how God's people behave. So I just let the guy, you know, go in front. There's nothing there. After all, the bank is not closing now, right? I will still do what I came here to do. Amen. You see that Isaac did something similar. Genesis 26. Is this helping someone? Okay, thank you very much. Genesis 26. See, Isaac, he did something similar there. Not just like his father. Genesis 26, 19. Genesis 26, 19. Also, Isaac's servants dug in the valley and found a well of running water there. And look at 20. Then the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with Isaac's headsmen. You see, why is he always headsmen fighting? See, that's how it has been ever long. Selah. Amen. Saying, oh Lord, the water is ours. Okay? So he called the name of the well Esek. Now, Esek means quarrel. Okay? Because they quarreled with him. And look at 21. Then they dug another well. Follow that. And they quarreled over that one also. You see that? You see these guys are very funny. Okay? So he called its name Sitna. Follow that? Now Sitna means enmity. Enmity. Okay? And look at 22. And he moved from there and dug another well. And they did not quarrel over it. So he called its name Rehoboth. Because he said, for now the Lord has made room for us. And we shall be fruitful in the land. You see that? So observe what Isaac did here. He left the wells for them and he dug another. You follow that? You know, he is the one who dug it all. He's the one. Yet, when there was going to be issues, he left it and he went and he dug another just so peace could reign. You follow that? So you will sometimes lose your rights in order to walk as a Christian. You follow that? You will lose, is legitimately yours, but you can let it go. Okay, because you are a Christian. So a believer must watch his conduct. Okay, and he must ensure that he doesn't get into fights. You follow that? Let's say this again. Say, Christians are not brawlers. Say, Christians are not violent people. Say, we are people of peace. Say, we are exactly like our Father. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay, then number 6. We have words. Words. Okay, you must watch what you say as a believer. As a Christian, as a saint, you must watch what you say. Look at how Paul says this, Ephesians 4:29. Ephesians 4:29. Are you there? Ephesians 4:29. It says, let no corrupt word, underline that, no corrupt word, okay, proceed out of your mouth. Okay, but what is good for necessary edification? Underline that, okay? That it might what? Impart grace to the hearers. Do you follow that? So a Christian must not be vulgar. You follow that? Avoid swear words. Okay, that's a Christian. If it doesn't edify the hearers, don't say it. Hallelujah. Okay? Avoid swear words. You see that Paul also says similarly, Colossians 4:5. Please turn your Bible there. Colossians 4:5. It says, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Now look at 6. Let your speech always, underline always, okay, be with grace. Hallelujah. Let your speech always be with grace. It says, seasoned with salt. Hallelujah. That you may know how you ought to answer each one. So the Christian must be very careful of lewd language. Okay, don't speak like those in this world. Don't. You must be careful. You see that the Apostle James instructs concerning the tongue in James chapter 3. Let's see that. James 3:2. The Apostle James there instructs concerning the tongue. James chapter 3, verse 2. It says, for we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, that is, in what he says, okay, he is a perfect man. Underline that. Underline in word and perfect man, able to bridle or control the whole body. You see that? And look at 3. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Now look at 4. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Now look at 5. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. Do you see that? So, James' parables here are to illustrate that little things can have much impact. Do you follow that? You see, a tiny bit can turn a horse. Right? A small rudder, right, can turn a large ship. A little fire can burn an entire forest. Do you follow that? Now, so also, the tongue, so little, can cause so much damage. You get the point of his parables now. You get the point. Okay. So James warns that we bridle our tongue. Amen. Bridle your tongue. Okay. A man who can control his tongue is perfect and can bridle his whole body, says James. You see that there? You see that now? Okay. Many people are falling into trouble today for not controlling the things that they say. Okay. I remember one incident that happened when we were in secondary school. You know, the teacher collected our test scripts, he marked the scripts, and then he kept the scripts with him for a while. Then after a while, he gave the scripts back to the class rep, right, to give to the class. Then when he distributed the scripts, now there was a girl in class, the teacher was behind the door, she didn't know. Do you get it? So they had just distributed the scripts, right? They had distributed the scripts. Then she says, so it's now that this stupid man knows he wants to give us the scripts. And the man is right at the back. You know, some people do that to their lecturers. And the man is right there. I know it's a secondary school. It's not university. Aha, so you know what that means. Amen. Aha. Okay, so mind what you say. Do you see that now? Okay, mind what you say. Look at Proverbs 21:23. Proverbs 21:23. It says, whoever guards his mouth. Do you see that? Whoever guards his mouth. Underline that. Guards his mouth and tongue, keeps his soul from troubles. Is that clear? Is that clear? Okay. Look at Proverbs 10:19. Proverbs 10:19. It says, in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. Do you see that? You know what this means? This means that usually a person who talks uncontrollably will say something sinful eventually. Just give him time. When he will soon start saying rubbish. Okay? But he who restrains his lips is wise. Hallelujah. On the line, restrains his lips, okay, and wise. Look at 20. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver. You see that? The heart of the wicked is worth little. Okay? So control what you say. Look at Proverbs 12:18. Proverbs 12:18. It says, there is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword. You see that? That is what it says causes harm. Okay, but the tongue of the wise does what? Promotes health. You see that? So you must watch what you say, both physically and these days, okay, especially on the social media. Okay, don't be loose with your mouth or your tongues. I tell you, learn from how I use my social media. Amen. Don't be loose. Amen. Don't. So you see, they say what they call that thing. They are giving people. They say what they call it when people are insulting one another on social media. Is it savage? They call it. And they're giving. They say bass boost. Aha, that's it. Bass boost. Ah, especially on Twitter. You see Christians insult. Ah, you wonder, is it the same blood of Jesus that saved you? Very insultive. Be careful. Do you follow this? You know, on social media, I have people that try to fight me. You know what I do? They just won't see their post again, and they won't find my page again. Very simple. Thank God for Mark Zuckerberg. It made it very easy. They will just not see their post again, and they won't see them. They won't. They will look in heaven and earth. They won't find me. Amen. You know what that means? Aha. If you don't know, wisdom be granted you. Hallelujah. Okay, so mind what you say and mind what you type as well. You follow that? Mind what you type. Don't be loose. No member of Dazzle Church is loose on the social media. Okay, you say you are defending the gospel. You are not insulting somebody. Somebody that is old enough to be your father. You say you are an idiot. Ha! I'm not your pastor. Amen. I will deny you. Hallelujah. Look at Proverbs 18:21. Okay, so be courteous. What did I say? Be courteous. Look at Proverbs 18:21. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Do you see that? And those who love it will eat its fruit. Okay? That is, your mouth can be used for either good or evil. So choose wisely. See that? What I say? Choose wisely. Say choose wisely. Okay? Look at Psalm 34:11. It says, come you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Now look at 12. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Now look at 13. Keep your tongue from evil. Underline that. Your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Do you see that? So do you want to live a stress-free life? Huh? Then you must be mindful of the things that you say. Did you get that? Do you want to live a stress-free life? Then you must be mindful of the things that you say, especially, particularly in this social media era. Okay, let me say it again. Watch what you say, both physically and on the social media. Okay, avoid rants. Okay, you are a child of God. Amen. Avoid rants. Hallelujah. Now, number 7, as we begin to close gradually now. Welcoming guests. Now, this is something you should do. Do you get it? Okay, welcoming guests. Now you see that the Bible teaches hospitality. Okay, look at Acts 28:7. It says, in that region there was an estate of the leading citizen of that island, whose name was Publius, who received us and entertained us, okay, courteously for 3 days. You see that? So Publius entertained them courteously. Now that's the word there, philophronos. Okay? You find the word there, philophronos. That's philophronos. Philophronos, which refers to personal affection. Okay? Personal affection in a friendly manner. Do you see that? You see that the writer of Hebrews also teaches hospitality. Look at Hebrews 13:1. It says, let brotherly love continue. Now look at 2. Do not forget to entertain strangers. Underline that. Entertain strangers. For by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. You see that? Now, what is he referring to here? He's referring to Genesis 18. Remember that story? When Abraham entertained 3 angels. Remember that story? Okay? And he received a reward for that. Hallelujah. So, we are to entertain guests. Be kind to people. You find that in Luke chapter 7, our Lord Jesus Christ, he rebukes a man by the name Simon for being unhospitable toward him. Look at Luke 7:44. Please turn your Bible there. Luke 7:44. It says, then he there being our Lord Jesus Christ, turned to the woman and said to Simon, Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet. Underline that. Okay, no water for my feet. But she has washed my feet. Okay, underline washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. Look at 45. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. Do you know what this means now? Okay, look at 46. You did not anoint my head with oil. Underline that. Okay, with oil. But this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Now, all of these were all gestures of hospitality within that culture. Remember, I've looked at this, right? Rather, I've studied the Bible. Okay, you can get that teaching for explanation of this. Now, the oil, okay, called alepho in the Greek, was applied in Bible days to suit the feet. Amen? And also to show honor in Bible days. Okay, it was a show of courtesy or respect. So you see that this woman here, although she's not the owner of the house, she receives Jesus well. Do you see that? But Simon, on the other hand, starves Jesus of honor. Hallelujah. And then he reprimands him for that. So we are to be kind to people. Do you follow that? Show people love. Be hospitable to others. Look at how Romans 12:13 says this. Romans 12:13. It says, distributing to the needs of the saints, giving to hospitality. You see that? Please underline that, okay? Giving to hospitality. Now, that word hospitality here translates the Greek word philoxenia. Okay? Philoxenia. That's philoxenia. Philoxenia. Now, a compound word from philos. Philos. Philos, which means friend. Okay? And xenos. Okay? Xenos. That's xenos, which means a stranger. Okay, so put that together. It means friendliness shown to strangers. Do you see that? Friendliness shown to strangers. That is the readiness to share hospitality and generosity by entertaining people in one's home. Do you follow that? So Paul instructs that we be given to entertaining people in our homes. Do you see that now? Make it your culture. Hallelujah. Make it your culture. You see that Peter 2 instructs similarly. 1 Peter 4:9. Okay, he instructs similarly. 1 Peter 4:9. It says, be hospitable. Underline that. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. You see that? Okay, you find that hospitality is also used as a qualification for a bishop. Look at Titus 1:7. Titus 1:7. It says, for a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money. Look at 8. But hospitable. Hallelujah. Underline that. Hospitable. A lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled. Okay? So an aspect of courtesy is to entertain people in your home. Amen? Okay? Treat them well when they come. Okay, don't hide your food when your neighbor comes to visit. Hallelujah. There's people are like that. Don't. Ha! Someone is eating. They say, come, are you in? Ha! Oh, yeah, Shola. Pack the rice. God, they even spray the room so that the smell won't be there. No, be hospitable. Amen? Be hospitable. You know, welcome people when they come around, okay? You know, like we do in Nigeria, send Shola to go and buy a Pepsi. Amen. Remember that joke? No, I study your Bible. Hallelujah. Okay, be hospitable to people. Amen. Okay, treat them well. Be kind to people. Now, number 8. Being nasty and unpleasant. Now, again, this is what you should not do. Okay? Okay, being nasty and unpleasant. Now, the word pleasant is Christos in the Greek. Christos. That's C-H-R-E-S-T-O-S. C-H-R-E-S-T-O-S. The E accentuated. The E after R. Okay. Now, it means mild. Mild. M-I-L-D. Gentle. Good. Kind. Okay. Now, it is the opposite of being hard, bitter, harsh, and nasty. Okay. That word, Christus, okay, is the opposite of being hard, bitter, harsh, and nasty. Okay. Believers should not be nasty. Okay? They are to have a pleasant character. Okay, look at Ephesians 4:32. Ephesians 4:32. It says, and be kind. Underline that, okay? Be kind to one another. Tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. You see that? So respect people even if they have nothing to give you. Do you follow that? Just be a pleasant person. Do you get it? Just be pleasant. I remember something that happened recently. Recently, I had to change one of my food vendors. Amen? Somebody I buy food from regularly. I had to change this particular fellow because she's quite rude. Amen? She's quite rude. Quite rude. You know, and she doesn't care. She's those kind of people that they don't care about their characters. Okay? So, you speak to her. She says, what? You know, this is somebody that wants to get something from you. Okay, no customer service. Just, what? Okay, I've heard. I should answer. You know, very rude. So, you know, after she sends the delivery and all, you know, the delivery is coming. You haven't seen it for 1 hour, 2 hours. You call her. She's shouting at you over the phone. Amen. Okay, so, and I heard about another person. Now, follow the story. And I heard about another person somewhere, okay, that also does similar to what she does. Okay, so I now try to order from this person, all right? And I messaged the person on WhatsApp, and the person goes, "Hello, sir, how are you doing?" I said, "Yeah." Say, "How are you doing, sir? How can we help you today?" What? Are you following this? Then I said, okay, I would like to get this. I said, okay. Then she sent me the account details, right? Okay, then I made a transfer. Then she was like, she hasn't seen the transfer yet. If it's that other person, she would start shouting. But this one is like, oh, I'm sorry, sir. Please, we haven't seen the transfer yet. Please, can you, probably it's network, just be patient. I'm like, very gentle, kind, no issues. Then the transfer went on. Then they sent the delivery, right? And I didn't see the delivery 1 hour, 2 hours. So I called this fellow, right? And then I called the person, and then she goes, oh, I said, I haven't seen what I ordered for. And she says, oh, we are so sorry, sir. Well, I'm going to call the driver right now, and we're going to get across to you. And she hangs up, she calls the driver, and then she calls me back. She said, he's on his way, sir. We are so sorry for the delay. He had an issue this yesterday. I was like, wow. So, caterers can be this nice, this gentle. Okay, so the delivery came to me, alright, and then the next day, they still messaged me. I said, I hope you enjoyed what was sent yesterday. I hope the delivery didn't come too late. And I said, oh, I'm sorry, it came too late. So that, oh, we're so sorry, we promise we'll do better next time. Hey! That is what this other fellow wasn't doing. I said, hey, so immediately I just switched. Do you get it now? Do you get it now? Okay, being pleasant attracts other people. Do you get it? When you are nasty, you will drive people away from you. Do you follow that? Don't think because you feel you are too good that I can do without you. You know, if like this fellow now, if one customer, 10 customers, 11 customers, then 20 customers, 40 customers, 50 customers start withdrawing themselves like that, you know, she'll feel it. Amen. So don't be nasty. Hallelujah. Okay, pleasant people attract others. Hallelujah. Be friendly with people. Okay? Be nice. Hallelujah. Are you here now? Okay, then number 9, dressing. Okay, this is another aspect. Dressing. You see, the God's word also instructs us on how to dress. And interestingly, most of the instructions on how to dress are directed to women. Don't ask me why. Amen. Okay, most of the instructions you find in the Bible about how to dress are directed to women. Now look at 1 Timothy 2:9. Okay, 1 Timothy 2:9. It says, in like manner, the Apostle Paul speaking there, in like manner also, let the women adorn themselves in modest apparel. You see that? Let the women adorn themselves in modest apparel. Underline that, modest apparel. Okay, with propriety and moderation. Okay, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works. You see that? Look at 1 Peter 3:3. Peter says similar there. 1 Peter 3:3. It says, do not let your adornment be merely outward. Okay? Arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Look at 4. Rather, let it be the hidden man of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. 5. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. 6. As Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. You see that? Okay, so we are to be modest in dressing. Do you follow that? Okay, be modest in dressing. Don't expose yourself to the world. Dress decently. Hallelujah. Okay, you know, if you need to keep adjusting it in public, then it is not decent. Amen. Okay, it's probably not decent, you know. So prepare that from home. Not that you now come to public and you are adjusting everything. If you keep adjust, if you know it's very uncomfortable, you need to keep adjusting it in public, then it's probably not decent. Okay, so don't wear it in the first place. Hallelujah. Okay, so in your dressing, portray that you are a child of God. Okay, don't be loose in your dressing. Okay, you know, we live in a evil world. Amen. Don't attract the wrong people to you. Amen. Hallelujah. Then lastly, number 10, waiting for others. Waiting for others. Okay, that is also a way of being courteous. Waiting for others. Look at 1 Corinthians 11:33. As we begin to close now. 1 Corinthians 11:33. Now the Apostle Paul speaking there. 1 Corinthians 11:33. It says, therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. Underline that, okay? Wait for one another. 34 says, but if anyone is hungry, let him eat at his home, lest you come together for judgment, and the rest I will set in order when I come. You see that? So it's simple courtesy, okay? It's simple courtesy. You know, when we are gathered together to eat and some people are late, you know, we can wait for them a bit, right? Before we proceed. You follow that? You know, this verse is within the context of a love feast, you know, which is what the Corinthian church wasn't doing. You know, they'll gather together to eat and then they will eat. Some people will finish eating before others come. So some are full, some are hungry. You know, we can wait for everyone. Amen. Amen. So, you know, you can even apply this as well to other things. Hallelujah. You know, for example, you're going up an elevator, right? You just imputed where you're going to, and then someone is coming and someone says, please hold the door. Just help them. Some people will let it close. Don't be wicked. Just put your hand there. Okay. Enter. Do you get it? Wait for people. Do you get it? Wait for people. You know, another one, especially on Nigerian roads, allow people pass. Do you get it? I know I was talking with my sister recently and I told her that most of the accidents we have on Nigerian roads is simply because people are not patient. Where are you rushing to? Somebody wants to enter. Just let him wait. Let him pass. Then you continue. Do you get it? What will that 1 second of waiting take from you? Will it delay? How late will you be to where you're going to? Do you follow it? Okay, so don't always be in an hurry. Hallelujah. You can wait for others. Amen. Amen. Okay, so in conclusion, you know, doing all these things will make you look respectable. Amen. It will make people respect you. And not only that, you will also foster good relationships with others. Okay, you can only win souls for Jesus if people like you. Do you know that? Do you know that? Do you know that? You can only win others for Jesus if you have a good relationship with them. Do you know that? Okay, so let your character attract people. Let people want to know about your God by your character. Okay, by your conduct. Okay, and this is how you do so, by being respectable in how you relate to everyone. Hallelujah. Did you learn today? All right, lift your hands, give God praise. Thank you.